And we know that you're farming not only to make a profit, but to make a difference in the world. And I think anybody that's riding along with you wants to help.
Welcome to In the Driver's Seat, a podcast on managing financial risk in your grain operation, brought to you by ABM.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of In the Driver's Seat. I'm your host, Doug Rosa, and with me again is Shelby Schweitzer.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Shelby, how are you?
I am fantastic. I know I told you I wasn't going to tell you what happened to me about 10 minutes before we started so I could get some real authentic feedback from you.
Well, let me have it.
Okay, so to the listeners, I'm setting up everything. You know, I'm getting psyched because this is super exciting. And I just spilt an entire cup of freshly made coffee all over my keyboard. So if anything happens, it's not my fault.
What do you do when you spill coffee on your keyboard? I mean, you just turn it over and let it drip dry or what?
Well, yeah, I didn't have time to stick it in rice, so I shook it, and I'm just letting you know in case anything funky happens.
All right. Well, if things go wrong today, I'll just take over with our guest, and you can listen to it at the end. But hopefully that won't happen. Sounds like you need to be a little more careful.
Thank you. Good advice.
So today we're going to start with something a little bit different for this podcast series. It's called In the Buddy Seat. And we have a guest today, Jess Alderson from Nebraska, and we're going to get to that in a moment, but not before we talk a little bit about what In the Buddy Seat is.
Yes, so In the Buddy Seat is new, and we're super excited to launch it to you all, but really what it is you're meeting our team, and you're getting to know a little bit about each of us from everywhere across the state. So we're here to serve you, and we want you to hear the real and the raw, authentic stories and all of the tips and tricks that, you know, might help you, and maybe you haven't heard of them before.
Let me start with this. Is it really called a buddy seat? Because I think it is, but I'm not sure. I mean, so listeners, maybe you can let us know too. We're going to mention on admadvantage.com/podcast. You can let us know how you feel about this. So that extra seat in your tractor or in your combine, is that called a buddy seat or is there a better name for it? That was one thing that crossed my mind. So I thought maybe I would get some input on that.
That's how I have always heard of it and referred to it. So
the intent of this is what's important. So here's how I guess I would see it. The title of the podcast is In the Driver's Seat. What we're trying to accomplish is to make sure that you're aware of the things you can control. This thought around buddy seat, you know, somebody is sitting next to you, whether it's for tax advice or financial advice or agronomic advice. Somebody is probably in your ear or sitting beside you virtually, you know, in your buddy seat from a grain marketing perspective. And same thing for fertilizer. You know, can we earn the right to be in the buddy seat, or can we at least give you some tips? So whoever is in that buddy seat can discuss with you, you know, how to navigate difficult markets all of the time. Again, whether grain, fertilizer, or other. Shelby, did I miss anything?
No, I think you nailed it though. And I mean, you're driving your operation. So we're here, we're hoping to gain the right to sit next to you in your buddy seat.
So I think we're going to start off with our guest, Shelby. You're going to introduce Jess.
I am. So with us today is Jess Alderson. She is in Nebraska, and she is a territory and origination sales manager. So Jess, welcome. We're so glad to have you. One thing before we jump in, I just want to confirm that you are or are not recording in your she shed with your chickens. So let us know.
Well, thank you for that introduction. Yes to the she shed. If you hear birds, I promise they're not chickens. They're just little birds that are out in the walls because it's not sealed up 100%. So they have this ongoing joke with me that I'm in the barn with the chickens. But you know what? If the shoe fits, we're just going to roll with it. I was going to say something on the buddy seat. I was talking to my husband about it, and he calls it a jump seat.
Ooh, jump seat. That makes sense to me. I used to have a jump seat in the back of my pickup. So we can call it either one, buddy seat or jump seat. Thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question for you. How'd you get into this job? And how did you get into a position where you're working with farmers every day? And tell them a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Western Colorado, kind of developed a love for ag in general through the FFA. My goal when I graduated high school was actually to become an ag teacher and ended up going to Colorado State University, go Rams. And my full intention when I graduated college was to actually teach. Through my college career, though, I actually ended up having an internship in Eden, Oklahoma with ADM. And I really fell in love with working with farmers kind of through that internship. And I really enjoyed what I did. And so I gave ADM an opportunity and thought I'd work in industry. Ended up going to Southwest Kansas for a few years and then ended up moving to Nebraska, where we kind of planted roots in Saunders County. So I really love the education piece of ag, of this industry, because it's not just me teaching, it's me learning too about everything that's going on in the operations. So it's just a really cool spot to be in.
So first question is what do you think some of the maybe the one or two biggest challenges are that producers are facing right now?
You know, with a lot of the growers that I talk to and work with, I would say this has been one of the toughest years for marketing. It seems like that a lot of people did a really good job of selling grain in December, January, February, and it was a small percentage. And since then, the market's kind of taken a nosedive, and a lot of people wish that they would have sold more. The flip side to that is the input costs are relatively high, and it seems like a lot of the conversations that I've had have revolved around those two facets of the operation.
So Jess, with that being said, and I'm sure you have a lot of stories, but does anything particularly come to mind with how you've maybe helped a producer in your area with that?
Yeah, for sure. So in the last few months, we've actually had a lot of things change in the market, from COVID-19 to trade tensions. And so a lot of the growers have a lot on their mind. When I think about one producer, I actually think about somebody that I have a really well-established fertilizer relationship with. That said, over the last year and a half, he has done a few contracts with ADM, from ASP to accumulators to DP. And over the last few days, there's been a bit of chatter about new sales into the export market. Cash prices still really aren't that attractive for new crop. And so, you know, we've thrown some offers out, nothing's really stuck. But what we've been able to do is actually utilize a specific type of contract. And we ended up hitting a decent level. When I think back to some conversations we had early on in the year, we felt like the bean market was going to go higher. The markets weren't super attractive. And it seems like with 97 million corn acres that were going to be planted, there was a lot of opportunity. So we waited a little bit for a rally, had offers in place. We had great targets put in. And now it's June and we didn't really have a lot done. What we ended up doing, though, is looked back at last year and what we did that was successful. And that ended up being an accumulator contract. That was one of the first sales that he made. He really liked that strategy. And so with the market volatility, we were actually able to get an accumulator contract working for him that not only had a guarantee, but had a hedge level that he was really happy about. And so, you know, we're able to get a 30-cent premium above the market today, and he's able to use that tool to kind of manage his risk there. That said, it's June, and we still need to execute on another 30% of his grain to get him where he wants to be today. But what this does is it also gives us an opportunity to look forward to March and May of next year to figure out where we need to sell his binned bushels at.
So Jess, you mentioned some contracts, I think we've talked, it's not about a specific contract being a fit for everyone. It's about a specific contract helping someone execute a strategy. Does that make sense? I mean, how did you get to the point where you kind of honed in on maybe these for this specific grower?
Yeah. And I think to your point, Doug, it is all about what works for the grower and in his specific operation. We kind of came to the conclusion that the accumulator was the best option because of where the current market is at today. Because he had done one in the past, it was a little bit easier to say, let's go ahead and pull the trigger on this one. But he's done a lot of diversifying as far as what he does. He's done average seasonal price. He's done price dailies. He's done accumulators, cash sales. He was just happy with the value. And because of what the market had done and the options that we had presented him, it just made sense for him at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I really like that because I think all of us, kind of fall into this trap or belief that there's some silver bullet. There is no silver bullet. I know one analogy I've used is if a financial advisor came to me and said, hey, you should do a 529 plan before he asked if I had any kids, probably be the last conversation I had with him. So it's certainly not what we want to do and try to force people into a certain bucket of products or services, but rather pull out what we need to help them get to where they want to get, given, you know, their view and our help on seeing where this market is going. So I just wanted to call that out. And it sounds like he has a son in the operation too. So how does that fit in?
Well, his son is very forward thinking, and not to say that he is not, but I think his openness to trying something new was really brought to life when his son was sitting in there and having the conversation with us initially. So it's cool to see that inner relationship working between the two.
I agree. And Jess, maybe I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here, but what are some open-ended questions or good open-ended questions that kind of really narrowed down and helped these producers, you know, come to the decision of that?
You know, we talk a lot about profitability and what's profitable for one might not be profitable for the other. And I guess some of the questions that I like to ask revolve around that. You know, tell me about where you need to sell in order to be profitable today. What about down the road? How does that factor into your five-year plan? What does that look like, you know, if you don't sell today?
That's good. I think a lot of people think, you know, it's all about, you know, getting the best price. Well, it is about getting the best price, but on an everyday basis, markets are moving. So what's the right time? What's the right price? And what I heard you say is you got to kind of dig just beneath the surface to find out, you know, what are the motivating factors and to figure out what the right fit is by asking those questions. And I know personally for me, if somebody asked me why I feel a certain way, it causes me to even reflect and think about it. And pretty soon I start answering my own questions. So sounds like that's a part of a tactic that you take with your customers.
I try to. And something that somebody told me, you know, early on when I started this was, you don't know what you don't know. So you have to ask the questions in order to understand who you're dealing with.
So you talked about a few different contracts. You know, they all function a little differently. I don't know that I really want to dive deeper into highlighting any of those unless you do. But I wouldn't mind segueing into another case study or another experience that you've had that ties more closely to the fertilizer side. So can you tell us about how that went?
Yeah. So I transitioned to fertilizer about a year and a half ago. I actually started out on the grain side prior to that. What I learned, though, through transitioning to fertilizer is that there's a lot of opportunities that the grower has by utilizing Farm Direct fertilizer through ADM. I realize that there's a lot of money that can be added back to a grower's pocket by buying when it actually makes sense for them versus buying maybe how they've traditionally bought. One of the first conversations that I ended up having was actually with a grower that I had a really established grain relationship with. But the conversation tone changed a little bit because the agronomy piece is vitally important to growing a crop. What that conversation led to was just talking to the grower about the dollars and cents and how buying direct, we could still service them the way that they had been used to being serviced. You know, they started out buying one or two loads from me because they had that trust established. And then once they realized that we really could take care of them the way that we said we could, those one or two loads ended up being a few more. And they were really surprised and extremely happy with the service, But more than that was the information that we actually gave to them. It really created this dialogue of market information on grain, market information on fertilizer, and it gave them the ability to be educated about what they were doing when it comes to making those decisions that affect their bottom line.
So price is what got you in the door, but some of the other things like, you know, the fact that we delivered the fertilizer, the timing of it, you know, the information, there were a lot of other pieces that cemented the relationship, it sounds like.
Yeah. And I think the piece that got my foot in the door initially was the relationship. Price was just a nice little add-on to that. It's just interesting what you learn when you don't know something and you take the time to really listen to what the needs are.
I agree with that a lot. And Jess, maybe for those who aren't familiar with our ADM Farm Direct program, do you mind explaining that just a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Generally speaking, fertilizer is thought of as more of a buy when you need it type of product, when really it is traded like a commodity, similar to grain. And there's a global market that actually trades daily. And so what the ADM Farm Direct fertilizer program gives to you is the information to have you make an informed decision that really affects your bottom dollar. And it's essentially just a different way of buying because you're able to price fertilizer up to 18 months in advance. And you can think about forward marketing your grain and buying a third of your inputs together so that your cost really is, a more realistic view of what your needs are going to be year over year.
Given time, whether that sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's 12, sometimes it's 18, but that time gives us the opportunity to buy when we should buy and sell when we should sell. And all too often, I think we do what you also mentioned is we buy when we need it and we sell when we have to. So getting away from that a little bit to thinking about it, pretty big component to the value that you're talking to growers about every day, I think.
And I also think too, touching on that, Doug, you're also taking the emotion out of it, right? So, you know, it helps you forward contract a little bit more or get something on the books. So at the end of the day, you feel a little bit better. You have something locked in and then you're getting some of that control back.
So we've talked about these two different case studies, these two different experiences, and you've mentioned relationship a few times. You know, we have lots of different kinds of relationships, but we're trying to build something just a little bit deeper than a buy-sell relationship. You know, if we understand, we're probably going to be in a better position to put ideas and suggestions in front of people. So talk just a little bit about what that term relationship means to you and what you're trying to achieve.
What I have tried to do is treat my customers the way that I want to be treated in their position or in their shoes. I want to work with somebody who takes the time to get to know me and know my needs and understand what that looks like for me if they're selling to me. And so, but I also understand that there are some people that don't want to have that fluff, you might call it. And so I know which customers those are, and I try and respect their time and give them what they need depending on the scenario. And everybody likes to talk about kids and grandkids. So that's always good for me to know. I also love to see, you know, pictures of grandkids and things that are going on as well. So it's just figuring out who I'm working with so that I can service them the best.
Yeah, same here. Sometimes, you know, I need a plumber to do a specific job. I don't need a relationship. Sometimes, like right now, doing some remodeling, I don't know what to do first or second. So now I need something different. I need somebody that can give me guidance and help look forward. So I think we're game for all of that. I liked your examples for sure.
Jess, for maybe those producers who tend to be a little bit more on the private side, how did you specifically earn their trust? So, you know, they felt safe opening up and sharing their goals and how you can better serve them.
So when I think about that trust and that respect, it is incredibly hard to earn that. But what I go back to is when I first started out with ADM, I didn't really know much about the grain business, but I knew I had a lot to learn. And what I remember is the growers in Kansas that opened up their hearts and their homes to me and taught me about the operation, taught me about farming, taught me about what they had going on. And it really gave me a chance to learn and experience what they were showing me. And so what I've done with that is I've kind of taken that thought, that mentality, and I've transitioned that to how I want to perceive somebody else's business. I want them to know that if they need something, I will bend over backwards to give them what they need. And if they're really nice, I'll even try and hand deliver checks if possible.
Jess, it's nice to hear maybe less what you just said, but how you said it. So I can feel how much you care about the people that you work with and the respect for the relationships you have with producers. Do you have any final comments or tips that you would like to give our listeners before we close this segment?
Yeah. So I guess the one or two things would be, don't be afraid to tell me what you want me to know. That relationship is a two-way street. So if you like me, tell me what you need in order for me to stick around. But outside of that, my hope is that no matter which ADM rep is in the buddy seat or in the jump seat with you, we truly care about you and your operation. And we know that you're farming not only to make a profit, but to make a difference in the world. And I think anybody that's riding along with you wants to help.
Thanks very much, Jess, for joining us. We appreciate you being on today. And just want to remind all of you that if you're looking for somebody to ride in your grain marketing or your fertilizer, or you just need a voice of reason, we'd be happy to ride in the buddy seat or the jump seat with you and hopefully give you a great experience like some of the experiences Jess talked about. So check out our grain marketing website at admadvantage.com. Call us for a conversation. Ask us to come see you. We'd be happy to have you come see us. We want to do business with you how you want to do business with us.
Definitely go check out our website, admadvantage.com/podcast. So now you're able to submit your feedback and questions or send any comments you wish. So tell us more about what you want to hear. Jess, I could feel the passion today, and I, again, want to thank you so much for coming on and getting to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, thanks, Shelby and Doug, for having me. This was really an honor to be on here.
Thank you, Jess. Thank you, listeners. Reiterate what Shelby said. Give us your feedback, constructive criticism. Send it to Shelby. Other feedback, send it to me. That was a joke, Shelby. Are you still there?
I didn't know what to do, if I was to laugh or soak it in.
Okay. No, we would both welcome your feedback. We want to make sure this gets better. Have a great summer, but I'd like to ask all of you to make it a great summer. So there's a lot of things that people tell us every day that we can't do, but there are things that we can do. So figure out what those are for you. Make it a great summer. Thank you for listening to another episode of In the Driver's Seat.
Thank you.
This has been In the Driver's Seat, brought to you by ABM. To learn more about managing financial risk in your grain operation, talk to your local ABM representative or go to admadvantage.com.